You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And it is Thursday, and we welcome you to our program. We're reaching the midpoint of the month, and we've got some football to talk about, plus a spring game tonight. Did you see this headline yesterday from AL.com? After Nick Saban's press conference, he likes the spirit of this Alabama team.
The last 2 days in practice, I thought the intensity has been good. I think the spirit's been good. I like the spirit of the team. I said that after the scrimmage. There's just a lot of things. We got a lot of young guys. We got a lot of things to work on to try to get a little better consistency and performance. So that's our focus this week. That'll be our focus for the scrimmage so that we get a little better execution on a little more consistent basis.
Mel Kiper talking QBs. Got a couple that will go early. The draft is 2 weeks from tonight. Kiper joins us shortly. This is what it looks like. He's got four straight quarterbacks make that. Bryce Richardson going third. Levitz. Jalen Carter at the five position. Will Anderson. Haven't seen him that low. Perhaps at number six. We'll talk to Mel shortly. And South Carolina is heading to Paris. I've heard about Paris in the springtime. How about Paris in November for basketball?
Nice.
Eiffel Tower. Les Palace. A lot of cool things. You been to Paris? I'm going to this game. I don't care if it's right in the middle of football season. Count me in. And tonight, you got plans? I do. Watching spring football. I'm being serious. Please, don't laugh. We've got questions, and Matt Baker has answers. Matt, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. So, as you get ready for this scrimmage tonight, what are the questions that you would like answered? Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, and thanks for having me on, Paul. The first thing is obviously the quarterbacks, right? It's a quarterback game. This is a quarterback program. So I want to see how Graham Mertz and Jack Miller III look in terms of who's kind of has the most chemistry with receivers, whose passes look the best, who's the most accurate, because I could see this kind of going either way. You know, I certainly would expect Graham Mertz to be the starter when the Gators open at Utah, but Jack Miller was a really touted recruit coming out of high school. At one point, he was number one quarterback in the country, went to Ohio State, which knows quarterbacks pretty well, and I didn't look at the bowl game as a real judge of what he can do. So I want to see which one of those kind of emerges as a front runner, at least in my eyes. Then the other thing I'm kind of curious about, I guess two more, the defense, new coordinator, a bunch of new players, who's kind of emerging there, and then playmakers at receiver. You know, as I look at the 6-7 disappointment that was last year for Florida, one of the things that jumps out to me is the fact that the receivers were pretty middling, and that's a pretty damning thing to say in a state teeming with athletes the way Florida is. So I want to look and see, other than Ricky Pearsall, which players are going to kind of emerge as potential breakout receivers and really just skill players besides the running back on this team going into the 23 season.
Matt, let me go back to the quarterback situation because it is critical, and you know, starting on the road against an experienced quarterback that Florida fans know and is considered one of the best in the country in Cam Rising. How would you handicap this race based on what you've heard so far and maybe without knowing what we're going to see tonight?
Yeah, again, I think Graham Mertz is probably going to be the guy, just because if nothing else, his experience, right? He was 19-13 as a starter at Wisconsin. And he was a top 100 recruit, too, and one of the biggest, you know, one of the best quarterbacks Wisconsin's ever signed in this modern era. So, and then you listen to him talk. You know, the first time I got to talk to him a couple weeks ago, he walked in, commanded the room really well, and I thought, all right, yeah, he's going to be the starter. But I thought the same thing in the past. I don't need to see him throw more. I think he's probably going to be the guy. But Billy Napier's obviously seen a lot more practice than I have, and Jack Miller has that sense of familiarity with the system and with the coaching staff and what have you. So I'm not counting him out exactly, but I certainly think Graham Mertz is probably the guy to beat heading into tonight. Let's put it that way.
So let's give him the job. What does he have to work around him?
Right.
And how do the Gators get out of this malaise that they've been mired in recently?
So what they're going to have to do is he's going to have to be efficient. He's not going to have to throw the ball 1,000 times. He's not going to have to throw it downfield 1,000 times. But what he's going to, and he's not going to have to be Anthony Richardson with his leg either. But what he needs to do is rely on a really good running back duo and ETN and Montrell Johnson. That's a really good backfield. You know, the offensive line obviously lost a handful of pieces, including a couple surprise transfers, to me at least, to USC, but they've reloaded to some degree and gotten some big transfers in from Kentucky and Bama. So that line, I think, will at least be solid. And what Mertz is going to have to do is game manager, avoid mistakes kind of thing, because if he can complete a good amount of his passes, the kind that Anthony Richardson missed too often, just easy screens and slants and what have you, and if the Gators can rely on a running game that I think is going to be really impressive again, then they're going to have a chance to kind of start moving in the right direction. That, to me, that's what this year is about. No one, I think, is realistically expecting them to beat Georgia or, you know, top 10 or anything like that. But if they can improve, again, cut down on some of those mistakes, then you're looking at an 8-4, maybe things go really well, 9-3 season. That gives them at least a little bit of momentum heading into what would be a pivotal year 3 for Billy.
Okay, Matt, I'm not holding you to this. I've just asked you to speculate. So here's the schedule. 8-4, maybe 9-3. Okay, this for those driving around and can't see our screen, it begins at Utah, McNeese, home game against Tennessee, Charlotte, at Kentucky, Vanderbilt. We'll do this in piecemeal. 6 games. Tell me what the record's going to be after those first 6.
Well, I think they lose to Utah. I think they lose to Tennessee. And I think Kentucky's a coin flip.
At Kentucky is a coin flip.
I don't know why not.
I mean, you look at
the way Kentucky's played him the last few years at Kentucky.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give it to you. So we'll go 2 losses and a tie, and we'll come back to the tie later. Second half of the season, at South Carolina, Georgia, Arkansas, at LSU, at Missouri, Florida State. Those 6 games, how do you handicap?
I think 3 losses that I would feel pretty confident penciling in Georgia, LSU, and Florida State. And then South Carolina is the other kind of half of that coin flip where that goes either way, and that's the swing between 7-5 and 6-6 if I had to pick.
Okay, so I'm not trying to be a prosecutor here, but you said it a minute ago, 8-4, maybe 9-3. You gave me 2 definite losses on the first half with Kentucky, a coin flip, so that's 2.5. Second part, you gave me 3 with at Missouri, at South Carolina, and Florida State up for grabs. Am I reciting what you told us correctly?
Well, I think Florida State's a loss. Again,
the losses are Georgia, LSU, and Florida State. The coin flips are South Carolina and Missouri. Do I understand you correctly?
South Carolina and Kentucky, to me, are the coin flips. So if I say 8-4, 9-3, that's the most optimistic spin that I think I could put on it, because I think that 6-6, 7-5.
Okay, let me do it another way, Matt.
Sure.
We'll put the schedule back on the screen. We're somewhere between maybe we're 7-5, 8-4 optimistically. Let's say things don't go well. Maybe some things. Utah's a loss. Kentucky's a loss. Tennessee's a loss in the first half. Kentucky, Utah. So there's 3 losses on the front end. Georgia's an automatic. LSU, and Florida State. So how many do we have now? That's 6. Mm-hmm. South Carolina. Missouri are tweeners, correct?
Correct.
We could get to 8 losses without really trying, couldn't we?
You could, just based on where this program is. And, you know, I'll say this, Billy Napier seems pretty confident about his team. Is that putting on a face? Maybe. Or maybe there's something there in terms of the chemistry and stuff behind the scenes that I don't see in the 20 minutes of practice, right? But, yeah, you could see this going pretty not very good for the Gators. That's certainly within the cards as we sit here on April 13th or whatever.
Let's split the middle. Let's say it's 6-6 again. Mm-hmm. How does that play in Gator land?
That's a really good question. I think a lot of Florida fans understand that this was not a turnkey, things are going to be better immediately situation. So I think the smart Florida fans know that this was going to take time. And the way Billy approached the transfer portal in going in and going out in his first season showed that he thinks he has plenty of time. But you and I both know this is a fan base that is not accustomed to patience. You know, you look at, Dan Mullen went to 3 straight New Year's Six Bowls and got ran out of town in year 4. Jim McElwain won the East twice and didn't have a chance to go for the 3rd because he got run out of town. That's the way this is. So I wonder if it's going to be more of the same if things go south for Billy this year or don't improve much. Or if Florida fans kind of say, you know what, there's a couple coaches in a row that didn't work out. We ran them out too fast. We actually have to be patient here because that's the way this ship is going to get turned around. So it could go either way.
Matt, give us one reason, one real reason, one legitimate reason why Florida fans should feel good about Billy Napier today.
Because he knows what it takes. He knows this is a talent acquisition business, as he said literally in his first day. And there are some incremental gains that he made on the recruiting trail in his first full cycle. And they've got 3 top 60 recruits here in 24 as well, including a blue chip quarterback in DJ Lagway. So if I'm going to spin this optimistically, I think the recruiting has improved overall, and there's signs of optimism going into 24, that the foundation is going to be laid for a longer-term rebuild that, you know, Billy knows what it takes because he saw it firsthand at Alabama, that this can be done, this is the way to do it. It's just up to him to kind of put that together.
You could argue that Derek Dooley knew what it took as well. He worked for Saban at LSU. You could argue Will Muschamp. You can argue a lot of people have been around successful programs and failed at SEC schools. Why should we believe Billy Napier is going to change the direction of Florida football, I think is what fans are asking. You know that. You're down there, and I'm mm-hmm. and I realize you're – I think we're all trying to find positivity. I'm just struggling to see what others are seeing right now based on what data we have. It could all change tonight perhaps.
Paul, you're trying to get me in trouble with this fan base, aren't you? That's what
no,
I'm hearing.
No, I just, you know, I my goal is never to get a reporter in trouble. And you're one of the exceptions, Matt. I want to compliment you. Most will not even attempt to answer an honest question. You will. That's why you will be in trouble when this conversation ends.
Well, and you're asking me to play devil's advocate because I haven't.
But Matt, that's what we do in sports. There are no – nobody knows what this record's going to be.
Correct. And as I look at this, again, just realistically, I think that 6-6, 7-5 thing is the most likely scenario. And that could either be a good amount – you know, maybe there's some incremental gains where they're more competitive against Georgia or something like that where you can make inroads in recruiting. Maybe this NIL collective that got launched a couple of days ago boosts the NIL and talent retention – to where they can start competing with Georgia for more recruits. And those are the types of things that if you're looking for optimism that maybe you can find in terms of alignment. And the facilities are back on track with the
exactly.
new complex that opened. So maybe those things add up to stuff over the long term. It's just that as I look at the 23 roster from what I've seen, I don't see a one that's going to be particularly competitive in the East and certainly not going 10-2 and going to the Orange Bowl or whatever.
Matt, I think what frustrates fans, though, is that Billy Napier looked like the guy that was going to turn it around quickly. And he may be turning it around, but it's certainly not quickly.
Correct. He never promised quickly. I want to point that out.
Listen, I'm not saying he did, but fans thought it would be quick.
You're right, but I think he approached year one intelligently. I contrast that to Willie Taggart at Florida State, where he came in first day talking this is a reload, not a rebuild, and he was wrong, and that did him in ultimately, or was one of the factors. Whereas Billy said, a year ago, I remember in the spring, he was talking about how it was a work in progress. So that's the thing. He has tried to preach patience, and I think the intelligent Florida fans understand that and will take that accordingly. The problem is this is a fan base that is not used to 7-5 being that's a step forward. No, that's not what this fan base is used to. So it's going to be interesting to see if this season goes the way I expect it to, what the message boards and radio stations and just the Joe and Jane casual fan in Gainesville or Tampa or Orlando, how they're going to approach that season if it starts to look like another mediocre one, or God forbid, a third consecutive losing season, which not outside the realm of possibility, Paul.
I'll act like you didn't say that, Matt, because we want to be positive here. Hey, Matt, always great to have you on. Never our goal to get you in trouble. We'll wait till right before the season to do that.
Deal. Thanks,
come
Paul.
Come back soon. Matt Baker joining us. And we got Kuiper on in a couple of minutes. Rodak on the Alabama Spirit campaign. And the legendary Hall of Fame coach Jackie Sherrill later on. We're back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And Mel will be joining us shortly. We'll get his take on the draft 2 weeks away. Dwayne is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Dwayne.
I want to hear that stuff with that man talking about from Florida. Hey, Florida fan, I'm going to tell you some real stuff. Y'all going to lose 8 games this year, man. And Florida fans, y'all going to lose 8 games, man. Pull up that schedule again, Paul Feinbaum. I'm going to let them know what game they're going to lose. I'm going to tell them what game they're going to lose.
Okay, we got Dwayne. We got Utah.
That's a loss.
McNeese.
That's a loss. That's a loss.
No, it's not.
Go. That's a what? That's a win? Keep going.
Tennessee at home.
That's a loss.
Charlotte.
No, that's a win.
Okay. At Kentucky.
That's a loss.
Vanderbilt home.
Kentucky. Who?
Vanderbilt at home.
Oh, they're gonna win that game.
At South Carolina.
That's a loss.
Georgia.
That's a loss.
Arkansas at home. Matt didn't
That's
even mention
loss.
Arkansas. Okay, I agree.
That's a
3-6.
Loss.
At LSU.
That's a loss.
3-7. At Missouri.
That's a win.
Okay, 4-7. Florida State at home.
That's a loss.
You're right, 4-8.
Hey, it'll be 4-8.
And Baker said, upside could be 9-3.
They're going to be 4-8, man. The people are going to lose 8 games. And plus another thing I want to tell you about the AC dude from Calendar. He want to say something about me yesterday, huh? Tell I got something for him, AC Calendar. That clown there. Yeah, tell that clown, I got something for him I want to meet that clown. Tell that clown to come on down to Orlando. I want to meet him.
Okay, Dwayne, thank you very much. That AC clown is up next. Hello, AC.
Good afternoon, Mr. Weinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Where is he from? Louisiana, by any chance? Didn't you say that?
He's from somewhere near New Orleans.
Okay, he said Orlando. Why am I going to Florida to look for a guy when he's in some miles away? What a bad way to give direction. Canada, buddy. Canada. Can you come find your boy AC? Or maybe you might end up in Spain. This guy is all the hype. I feel so bad for LSU Tigers. As soon as they crash, this guy is going to cry. Oh, he's going to make more excuses. But let me tell you something, Mr. Feinbaum. You asked the other gentleman, Matt Baker, almost tough questions. Man, you got to show some love, dude. If that was my boy Mike Griffith, he would have ripped him apart. I can assure you, because I love me some Mike Griffith. But I'm going to hang up by saying this, Mr. Feinbaum. Starting next week, you got to start your worst callers bracket, and please have me and Dwayne one-on-one in that same bracket. I'll make one of the worst calls, one of the horrible, violent calls. Dwayne, you don't want me in that position, buddy, because you have no clue who you are messing with. But Mr. Feinbaum, I'm back to reality. I love you. I love you. I love
you. We will take a short break. The one and only Mel Kiper Jr. is up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. We are here 2 weeks from right now. Everyone will be gathered in KC and waiting and hearing what the first pick will be of the Carolina Panthers. Mel Kiper Jr. has been doing mock drafts for as long as I can remember in this calendar year. And we're delighted to welcome him back to our show on a busy time. Mel, thank you. We always appreciate you squeezing us in.
Paul, always a pleasure, my friend.
Well, thank you so very much. So the question you've been asked everywhere you go, every day of the week, is what's going to happen when the draft begins? Who is Carolina going to take?
All indications, Paul, right now, in mock 4.0, I had Bryce Young, quarterback from Alabama, being the number one pick overall. It kind of went back and forth because it looked like after the pro day of C.J. Stroud, he would be the number one pick. And then all of a sudden, we're back to full circle, back to Bryce Young. So it looks like Houston now is making it very interesting. Adam Schefter is thinking that they may throw a little bit of a curveball here. Maybe not take C.J. Stroud, maybe draft a defensive player or trade out of there. So I think now, all of a sudden, the second pick is now the first pick, Paul, and it becomes very interesting.
We have Mel's 4.0 on the board. Mel, let me ask you a question about Carolina. When they made this move a couple of weeks ago, do you think they knew what they wanted, or they just knew they wanted one of two people or one of three people?
I think they probably had a pretty good idea, Paul. They kept everybody kind of guessing because of the size factor for Frank Reich being always the issue, or his prototypical quarterback was always in that 6'3", 6'4", range. But in this particular case, now here we are, as you say, 2 weeks before the draft. I thought last week was when I got the intel and I checked with Adam and Morton. They said, hey, Bryce Young, we're here. And the consensus among my people, my friends in the league, was Bryce Young. So I said, wasn't everybody, but the consensus was Young. And then when Morton and Adam said, said Young. I went with Bryce Young, and looks like all indications right now. I don't know if I'd rate it in pen yet, but I'm close to feeling that way right now, Paul.
Mel, you've been doing this longer than anyone, so I'm curious about the methodology that everyone uses. And you're only as good as the information, and there are only three people, you know, maybe a few more involved in the actual decision-making process. How do we know what's going on? I mean, I guess I'm asking you a pedestrian question for a reporter, but where does this intel come from?
What happens, Paul, is you talk to your friends in the league, and you ask them about other teams because they're not going to tell you what they're doing. So you try to say, okay, if you were picking number one, who would you take? Knowing what you know. Oh, I would take C.J. Stroud, or I would take Bryce Young, or I would take Anthony Richardson or Will Levis. You get a wide array of opinions. What you try to do then is say, okay, what do I think based on what I know? I hear what they're saying. Let me just check with Adam and Mort to hear what they're saying, and you just put it all together, Paul, and that's the way you do these mocks. They're very fluid for that reason because you're not the team's not telling anybody. So people think they know, but they really don't know. We love surprises. The draft, it's like Christmas morning. You don't want to know what's under the tree until Christmas morning. You don't want to know a week or two before. That's what makes it special for the kids. So I think when you look at where we are right now, we would hope we wouldn't know for sure. I'm hoping we don't know for sure, but it seems like Bryce Young is going to go number one. And then, like I say, when you hear two not being C.J. Stroud, to me, what I say then is, Paul, why not? Why is Houston, who needs a young quarterback like Stroud or Richardson or Levis, not going to take one? Are they thinking they're going to be awful next year and get Caleb Williams from USC or Drake May from North Carolina or Michael Penix Jr. from Washington? I don't know. I don't think any team thinks they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league before the season begins. So I don't understand, and with that being said, why at two they would not take a quarterback.
So let me get to what's after that. Assuming whatever happens to C.J. Stroud, he'll go quickly. Explain the interest and fascination with Anthony Richardson.
All talent and upside. We talked about him as a guy that has the ability. Just from a running standpoint, Paul, he'll be one of the top running quarterbacks in the league immediately. Now, the passing, the arm strength is obviously there. The accuracy, the mechanics of making accurate throws needs to be worked on and fine-tuned. I said months and months ago, I would go to Josh Allen, find out his two, three people that are worked with him, and go to it. Go at it. And Anthony Richardson is a hard worker. He will do all the things he needs to do. When you just can't coach or teach the kind of talent he has, Paul. They coach him properly, put him in a system that allows him to do what he does best. You can have a really good quarterback in the NFL.
Next, of course, Will Levis of Kentucky by way of Penn State. What do you see in his ability that has so many people interested?
Somebody said to me today, we did a Q&A, the Ask Todd, Ask Mel segment, and it was saying, why are you hyping him so much? They asked me. And I said, I'm not really hyping, I'm defending, okay? Because he's getting hated on by everybody. Even the people that say they kind of like him are hating on him. So Will Levis is the one that could be the dropper of the quarterbacks. He could be like Josh Allen and Justin Fields were, drop down, somebody trades up to get him if he doesn't go to Indy at four. So people were looking at this past year, and I say throw it out. It doesn't mean anything to me. As you know, Paul, you know better than anybody. He was beat up all year. He didn't have the O-line. He didn't have Wandale Robinson. He had a new coordinator. And he was, like I say, injured. He couldn't move. He had 9 rushing touchdowns in 2021 when he could move. He had 0 the last 8 games this year when he couldn't move. So, again, if you want to scrutinize this year, I agree the turnovers, the Ole Miss ending was bothersome. But, hey, Josh Allen fixed the turnover issue. Daniel Jones has fixed the turnover issue. These ultra-competitive quarterbacks, which is what those two are and what Will Levis is, will turn it over. And I said today, too, Paul, Kentucky's not the 20-point favorite in every game. They're not the chalk in every game. They're an underdog or they're a slight favorite. He was 17-7 as a starting quarterback, and you could tell and Mark Stoops said it. When he wasn't our quarterback, you saw what happened.
Talking to Mel Kiper Jr., Hendon Hooker dropped by the other day. Everyone loves him in terms of a personality. Mm-hmm. He seems to be doing well with the injury. What do you see for him?
The charisma and the 25 years of age, the professionalism, you got to love all that. The system's going to take him some time. It's not an NFL system. It's a great college system with Josh Heupel. The receivers, as you know, were outstanding. The O-line, the running game, everything around him was perfect. Now, he took it to another level. He was phenomenal. But, you know, he's that flat-footed passer, gets the ball out quick, didn't have to go through the fourth, fifth options, didn't have to roll left, roll right, and he's coming off an ACL. I think the perfect team would be Seattle. I projected them getting into into the back end of the first round, get that fifth-year option, have a year to at least sit him and let him adjust coming off the ACL, coming out of that college offense into the NFL, adjusting to pressure in the NFL and adversity, which we'll have to deal with in the pocket. All those things lead me to believe he needs to go to a team like Seattle or Tennessee, somebody like that, Paul.
Let me ask you about a name that nobody's talking about. He was one of the best players in college football last year. Everybody knows his resume. What is the deal with Stetson Bennett?
The deal is this. I think he's a day three pick. He's in that next tier. There's a second tier of quarterbacks after the big five, which will be Clayton Tune at Houston, Stetson Bennett, Georgia, Jake Haener, Fresno State, Max Duggan, TCU, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, UCLA, and Aiden O'Connell, Purdue. That's that next group. You even could throw Tanner McKee from Stanford in there and Jaren Hall, BYU. Those guys are all, I wouldn't say interchangeable, but they're all close. So Stetson Bennett, I said today, well, we're going to know. Baltimore is going to be picking in that day three. Todd Monken coached them 2 years, two national titles. They would like the draft. They said they're going to draft a quarterback. If they don't say get Hendon Hooker in the first round or Will Levis, Paul, we'll see if Baltimore looks at Stetson Bennett. But either way, if he doesn't go to Baltimore, I think he goes to somebody else in the fourth, fifth round area.
Mel, before you go, two defensive stars from Georgia and Alabama. You know I'm talking about Jalen Carter and Will Anderson. What's going on with both of them?
Yeah, I think Carter, Paul, goes in that fifth, sixth spot, either to Seattle or Detroit. Seattle could not stop the run. They were gashed last year against the run. They were, 30th in the league, gave up 150 yards, saw what Josh Jacobs did to them. I think Seattle needs a Jalen Carter. Detroit certainly could use him. I think Will Anderson goes either to Seattle or Detroit. If he goes to Arizona, if they keep the pick, but if they don't and that becomes a quarterback, I think it ends up Seattle or Detroit. I'm looking at Detroit. Put Will Anderson Jr. opposite Aiden Hutchinson. Dan Campbell in Detroit, I think, are looking at high-character guys. Will Anderson Jr., as you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, he's a 20 in terms of character. So I think when you look at those two, they're going to go off the board within the first six picks.
Great stuff as always, Mel. We appreciate the time. We'll be watching in 2 weeks. Thank you very much.
Always fun, Paul. Take care, pal.
You got it. One of the best. Well, the best. Not one of the best. The best. He's been doing it. I think he's been doing this since before the draft started. And we are coming back with your reaction to all of that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And we're back, and Rick is up next. We're calling from Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Hi there.
So, brief comment on yesterday, Matt and Jim. It's not often that I'm going to defend Jim or land on his side, but man, yesterday, I'm not sure what was going on with Matt, but I've boiled it down to two things. I think either he missed his dose of Prozac in the morning, or his mom tried to serve him oatmeal instead of Captain Crunch for breakfast. I just don't know.
I mean, listen, if you don't get your Captain Crunch, you're going to be in a bad mood all day. That's how I feel.
Exactly. Hey, one more thing.
I don't want a bowl either.
Did Coach Saban land a new sponsorship deal or something? Looks like he's been hitting the Just for Men pretty hard.
Now, Rick, all 72-year-old men have naturally dark hair.
It's getting kind of close to Ronald McDonald.
Let me correct myself. All 72-year-old men have dark orange hair.
Hey, Paul, one more thing, man. Dwayne, as Jim would say, came across almost sapient today, don't you think?
He did. That was a talk about Prozac. I think Dwayne has some. Matt getting just absolutely eviscerated by the callers. Hello, Matt.
You know, I don't care if you mad me all you want. It's just in the gym. I don't need my mom doing this or doing that for me.
Well, Matt, is it true or is it not true that you eat Captain Crunch in the morning?
No, I'm a grown man, 36 years old. I don't eat Captain Crunch. They can shut up about that already. I don't eat that crap.
Okay, sorry about that.
I'm not yelling at you, Paul. You're my other brother. I'm not yelling at you. I'll never do that to you.
Yeah.
But I want to get on this subject about Georgia and Alabama.
Okay.
Look, I have no problem with Nick Saban. He does a lot of good work in his community. He does a lot. He builds a lot of homes for people who don't have homes. They can't afford to build it. I respect him after that. I just don't like him on the field or recruiting. This whole argument between Kirby and Saban, Kirby's all-time best coach all the time. I don't agree with that, Paul. My reason I'm going to give you for talking about A&M is Kirby has 2 national titles. Saban has 7. Kirby's not there. He just has a very good program right now. Saban hasn't won one in a long time. Doesn't mean Saban's the best coach all the time.
Matt, Saban won a national championship 2 years ago. Well, what do you mean he hasn't won one in a long time? John is in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. I think Rick's diagnosis was spot on. Hey, Detective Feinbaum, I think Matt Baker should have asked for an attorney as you continue to grill him.
Well, is that the correct answer? Are you trying to get me in trouble with the Florida fans? I don't know. Is that you tell me. Is that the new world we're living in? I just wondered an
answer. I don't
know.
He went from 8-4, maybe 9-3, till toward the end of the conversation. Well, 6-6, and maybe 7-5. You just wore him out.
Yeah, I felt like I was in one of those unnamed countries where you're on the street bargaining for a price. There's a let's say there's a rug, $100. I'll give you 75, 80, 60. I mean, what is it, Matt?
Hey, Paul, I was going to mention get your thoughts on a Mike Farrell article on coaches under the microscope. But first, I have to ask you a personal question. Are you still attending your Friday therapy session?
I've skipped a few, John. I just figured I didn't need it. I didn't need the help.
Well, self-medicating at the commercial break is not the answer. Tell Randy that. But seriously,
I've been going to a therapist now on my phone, where you it's a text therapy.
Yeah. Ah, the app. But I mean, I'm it's a little serious. You're an Alabama hater. You're a hater on Georgia and Kirby Smart. You disrespect Ohio State. You have a man crush on Nick Saban. Sorry, legend. Then AC has a man crush on you. Your dog eats better than you, and then the show's main antagonist says you're a liar, going to hell, and the show's going to be canceled, albeit he does say the next day, you two make a good team, and he prays for you. I think the therapy should stay in.
Okay, I will Friday. I'll quit using the WhatsApp idea. Hey, thanks, John. Appreciate it. Aaron is up next in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, Paul, I just wanted to call in and talk about that knucklehead talking about Coach Saban's head. I'm sure he don't have any room to talk about Coach Saban's hair. That 72-year-old man's probably got a better head of hair than he's ever dreamed about having. And,
he wasn't challenging Coach Saban's hair. He was challenging the color of Coach Saban's hair.
He was saying that he uses just for men. Well,
yeah, and by the way, I will tell you,
with.
Most people over how old, Randy? This is Nick Saban's dark, burnt orange hair. I have to tell you, that's the first time I've seen that.
It's just a classic case.
I will tell you that it is not uncommon for people 60s, 70s, 50s I've said this a million times. People have always accused me of using hair dye. Why would you waste hair dye on this? I mean, no way. I'm not forking it over. I'm not forking the $6 over at the CVS. I'm going natural.
Okay. Well, thanks, Paul. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I wish I had more hair to dye. But can we go back to the picture again? I want to look at. Okay, no rush, Kith.
Yeah, something going on.
Now, Randy, look, I have never seen it look that color before. I've always thought Saban had, what would you say, dark brown or black hair?
Crimson color.
I wish I had. Remember the Madden Telestrator? I wish I could telestrate and use a color cue, because that is not, what is Saban's natural color?
It's not normal.
Do we know what his normal color hair is? I always thought it was, it wasn't black. I've always thought it was dark brown. That is kind of...
There's something going on.
I think he grabbed,
Miss Terry's color kit.
Yeah, I mean, I think he may have accidentally
got the wrong shade.
And good for him. He's a good-looking man.
Yeah.
One more time, Kathy. I want to look at that picture again and leave it up. This is last night. Is that right, Jamari? Look at the red, the crimson red A, the script A, and then go directly over to the very top of the head where there's a V in his forehead. I mean, if you mixed the two colors, what would you get?
You'd get his hair color.
Exactly right. We will take a short break. More on Saban's hair color at 11 tonight. Live team coverage.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.